Well, it's tough to follow that. That was beautiful. Thank you for that singing. Great song. And yeah, I agree. That was quite an impression for us through the spring and the summer. We heard it many times. And it actually leads into a bit of the theme for this morning, the light in the darkness. As we turn to Genesis chapter 1. I wanted to make mention as well, we fully relate with Moana and Awana. Our kids used to go to iguanas. So that was, prior to Virginia, we were in Ecuador for 3 years, and we didn't have Awana down there. So when we arrived in Virginia, we learned all about iguanas. So that was my kids' translation of it. Good to have those clubs. We pray for the Lord's blessing on you there. Virginia's still trying to work out that balance in person, not in person. They're trying to figure out how to do Awana with Zoom. My kids are not big fans of that. We're thankful as a chapel we've been able to meet in person since middle of May. I think it took a little bit longer here when I remember talking to Chuck about, but we're getting back. Isn't it good to be back? It's good to be in person. And I'm hoping that it's all resolved on November 3rd. We'll see if that's the day that miracle cure shows up. Probably not, but we'll make the best of it. How many of you like garage sales or going to the antique stores? Yeah, still some out there. I've never been a big fan. I confess that I'm always trying to get the stuff out of my house. I don't need to bring anything else into my house, but sometimes they're fun to go and look around and you find things and you just go, what is this? What do you think it is? Especially if you find the older homes, those who've been established for a while. As a kid, when I grew up in Hershey, I remember that was the most historic area I'd ever lived in. And you would find some stuff coming out of people's basements that you'd go, wow, what is this? We were renting a house up there at the time and helping clear things out. And you go, wonder what do you use this for? What's the purpose? And then naturally after that, your thought goes to, he's selling this. I wonder if it actually has value. I really hope it has a lot more value than he's selling it for, and he doesn't know it, right? And so you pursue those things. But those are two basic questions that I find come for our own lives. What is the purpose, and what is the value? What is the purpose and what is the value? Well, let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to gather in the name of the Lord Jesus this morning, to have your word, to learn about what you think of us, what you have as our purpose, your value of us, and how we value you. We pray that you'd help us this morning as we consider these thoughts and all of your creation and your prized possession of creation. Guide us by your Holy Spirit, we pray, for your honor and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. So throughout God's creation, we'll find, he states that he has a purpose and he has a value for all that he created. And before we jump into chapter one, I'd like to help our Bible study. As you go through reading, we should always be looking for patterns, repetition. Anytime there's a key phrase like God said, I like to listen up. What is God saying? I've got a quote. I need to pay attention. And then look for changes in the patterns where you might see repetition, 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 and then it stopped. Why did it stop? Is there a transition? Is there something I should notice? So some patterns as before I read Genesis 1. The most obvious one, if you're most are very familiar, right? Because you go, oh, I'm going to read through the Bible this year. Where do you start? Book one. And we all read Genesis 1. And then it's later in the year that we go, oh, where was I again? I'm going to go to John because that's a good one. And there was evening and there was morning the first day. And there was evening and there was morning the second day. And there was evening and there was morning the third day, right? So we see this pattern. And God's helping us to see a transition, a clear break. He did one thing, he finished it, he went on to the next, day by day by day, take note of what I've done day to day. Other patterns that we might see. And God said, let there be, and there was. Let there be, and there was. And God said, catch that as well. And then as we progress, you'll hear, according to their kind, or according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good. So just a few phrases that I hope catch your ear, catch your attention as we go through Genesis chapter 1. I think it's a rather familiar passage, so I will go quickly. My focus is going to be at the end of the chapter. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light, saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. And God said, let there be an expanse in the midst of the waters, and let it separate the waters from the waters. And God made the expanse and separated the waters that were under the expanse from the waters that were above the expanse. And it was so. And God called the expanse heaven. And there was evening, and there was morning, the second day. And God said, let the waters under the heavens be gathered together in one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. God called the dry land earth, and the waters that were gathered together he called seas. And God saw that it was good. And God said, let the earth sprout vegetation, plants yielding seed, and fruit trees bearing fruit in which is their seed, each according to its kind on the earth. And it was so. And the earth brought forth vegetation, plants yielding seed according to their own kinds, trees bearing fruit in which is their seed, each according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the third day. And God said, let there be lights in the expanse of the heavens to separate the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years, and let them be lights in the expanse of the heavens to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And God made the two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night and the stars. And God set them in the expanse of the heavens to give light on the earth, to rule over the day and over the night, and to separate the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening and there was morning, the fourth day. And God said, let the waters swarm with swarms of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the expanse of the heavens. So God created the great sea creatures and every living creature that moves, with which the waters swarm according to their kinds, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the waters and the seas, and let birds multiply on the earth. And there was evening, and there was morning, the fifth day. And God said, let the earth bring forth living creatures according to their kinds, livestock and creeping things and beasts of the earth according to their kinds. And it was so. And God made the beasts of the earth according to their kinds, and the livestock according to their kinds, and everything that creeps on the ground according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. Verse 26. Then God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And God blessed them. And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that moves on the earth. And God said, behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the face of all the earth, and every tree with seed in its fruit. You shall have them for food. and to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the heavens, and to everything that creeps on the earth, everything that has the breath of life, I have given every green plant for food. And it was so. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God finished his work that he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work that he had done. So God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it God rested from all his work that he had done. Did you catch the patterns? Did you hear? I read a little bit for emphasis to make it so. We have these 6 days of creation. The first day, light. The light that separated light from darkness. The second day, the sky or the heavens and the seas. The third day, dry land, vegetation, plants, trees, according to their kinds. The fourth day, sun, moon, and stars, light on the earth. Signs, seasons, days, and years, something to help us. God knew we needed to be able to tell the time and see the passage of time. Fifth day, swimming and flying creatures, according to their kinds. The sixth day, land creatures, according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good. But then verse 26, we have a pattern shift. We have a word that catches our attention. Then God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. His final work of creation, and God draws some special attention to it. How he's planning to make man, and he has some special plans. He's going to make man in his own image, after his likeness, after our likeness. Let me be careful, because there's some significance in those words, right? This is the first sign we have of the Trinity. Of course, it's revealed through all the scripture to get the full understanding that there are three at work here. The Spirit that's hovering over the face of the earth, God who's speaking, and the Son, we know from later on that he was present in creation as well. And the three are in agreement. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. We are made to resemble God. We're made in his image. And this is the theme that I'd like to take up this morning and focus on. There's some significance to this, that we are made in the image of God, that we have his likeness. Recognizing the significance of what God did by creating man in his own image, it helps our understanding of our purpose and of our value. Remember, that's where I was trying to go from. What are we supposed to be doing? What is our value? Sometimes it seems hard to believe, but we're the high point of God's creation. You know, when I think about things that marvel at, you study things like the sun and you try and understand, how does the sun work? It's this big ball of fire and it's just burning and burning and burning and it never burns up. You know, I try and make a fire at home. We have a little fire pit that we got recently. It's all we can do to get the fire going and keep it going. My kids like to help and keep throwing stuff on. Hey, it went out again. Start it up. God built this ball of fire and it doesn't go out. Okay, so it's not really a ball of fire, right? And if we really get down to the science, it's helium and hydrogen and it's fusion. And we're seeing these explosions and it comes to us as light. That seems more impressive than man. But God says, no. You are made in the likeness of God. All of God's creation brings him glory as the creator. We should have no doubt of that. But people have a very special place in God's creation. Nothing else gets the claim that they're made in his image. God even gives us some detailed description of how he made man, because chapter 1 gives us the summary, and then chapter 2 we can get into the details. You know, God taking up the dust of the earth, blowing his own breath, giving us life. God giving his own life into us. What amazing. Blowing into his nostrils the breath of life, the man became a living creature. We have a uniquely divine connection with God. Three significant areas or types of blessing that I see being made in God's image. He gave us the ability to think and reason and to choose. Think, reason, and choose. The second one would be that he teaches us how to relate to others. We learn to love because we're made in his image. We learn how to rule because we're made in his image, this relational blessing that he's given us. And then finally, probably the most precious is that we can communicate with God. We're the only ones in creation who can communicate with their creator. This start off with this gift of reason and of free will. God gave us the ability to reason. That means he gave us the ability to think through, to form conclusions, to make judgments. We have the ability to even just take inferences. We don't have to see exact evidence. We can hear suggestions. We can take in different sources of information and even the premises. We can think conceptually. No other creature can do that. God made man in his image so that we could think like that. We're able to think through problems in a logical manner. We're not like God knowing the answer to every what if, but we can work through all the what ifs, right? I still work for the Air Force as a contractor, and so we're always developing courses of action or what if drills. Well, we'll give one and then two and then, third one. That's always a throwaway. But we can conceive of different possibility of plans that we're going to go down. We're the only creatures who can do that because we're made in the image of God. And we do even better when we take on one of the other blessings that God's given us. He says we can ask him for wisdom and he gives it to us, right? So with the wisdom of God, we're able to reason and to think and draw conclusions. He gave us this ability to reason, and we see the first evidence of it in Genesis chapter 3. When you consider the fall, that's where we find it. Turn to chapter 3, and we'll look at the first five verses. Now the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God actually say, 'You shall not eat of any tree in the garden?'" And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden, but God said, 'You shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that's in the midst of the garden, neither shall you touch it, lest you die.' But the serpent said to the woman, 'You will not surely die, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil.'" The serpent related to Satan. We can find that in other scriptures. We'll give him credit here. He approaches Eve. He engages in her reasoning. She was given facts from her husband. This is what God told Adam. She seems to have added some facts, whether it came from her husband or her own filling in the blanks, that's on her. We see, did God actually say that you shall not eat of any tree of the garden? And he deceives her into thinking that she drew the wrong conclusion. She didn't have all the facts. God's instructions to not eat of that tree. Different facts, seemingly conflicting facts. And we might be tempted to draw the same wrong conclusion. He affected Eve's reason. He made her doubt God's goodness. Isn't that the core problem? He made her doubt God's goodness. God's holding back on you. He doesn't want you to be like him. That's a lie. That's the deceiver. No, God made us in his image. He wants us to be like him. He gives us his own spirit so that we can have the same power and live for him, to glorify him. The moment we doubt God's goodness is when we fail and when we fall. Our ability to reason is unique. This is where that line is. I mean, you talk about the argument of evolution. Could it be possible? Did we come from apes? Like, they can't reason. Only man can. I mean, imagine you have a pet chimpanzee. They're pretty talented. I have a good imagination. I hope you have one. Follow along. Imagine you have a pet chimpanzee. And you've taught him to do some amazing tricks. I mean, you really, useful stuff, not just tricks. You got him so well trained, he cleans your house, he takes care of almost every chore that you have. You even taught him sign language. They have chimpanzees that can do sign language. You taught him so you can even communicate with him. So you take him out, you go to the store, you want to impress all your friends. You're in the store, you get up to the counter and you're ready to purchase your groceries. But even the most intelligent, gifted chimpanzee with you doesn't have the ability to judge rightly if you cheated that store clerk when he gave you too much change and you put it in your pocket. Nor does he understand the guilt that you feel that makes you turn back and go back and go, oh, you overpaid me. He doesn't have that gift. He doesn't have that capacity to reason. He doesn't understand guilt. These are things that are ours because God gave them to us when he made us in his likeness. That chimpanzee isn't made in God's likeness. We can understand guilt. We can understand judgment, and God knows it. Look at Isaiah chapter 1. Isaiah chapter 1, down in verse 15. When you spread out your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. Even though you make many prayers, I will not listen. Your hands are full of blood. Wash yourselves. Make yourselves clean. Remove the evil of your deeds from before my eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do good. Seek justice. Correct oppression. Bring justice to the fatherless. Plead the widow's cause. Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall become like wool. If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat of the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be eaten by the sword. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. Or has spoken. God tells his people that they're guilty of testing him, of not trusting in him by faith. He invites them to come. Let us reason together. Would God invite us to come and do something we don't have the capacity to do? No, he knows what he gave us when he made us in his image. We have this ability to reason. Come, let us reason together. Those created in his image have the ability to reason. And he presents options to be reasoned through. He gives the problem. He gives the promised solution. If you are willing, verse 19. But if you refuse and rebel, verse 20. We get to weigh these, you know, make that choice. Which one is it? Which am I going to do? The ability to choose and express our free will is this significant part of the blessing of being made in God's image. From the beginning, God made mankind with this gift of free will, and that's kind of where we're going to go now and talk more about the choices that we can make. He's given us the ability to choose. God didn't have to put that tree of the knowledge of good and evil in the garden. But if he didn't, would they have had the opportunity to choose? He could force us to love him, but does that glorify him? He allows us to choose him. He's willing to let Adam choose to obey him or reject him. Just as we're reading in Isaiah, he gave his people the opportunity to obey him and follow him or reject him. Our ability to reason and to choose is a reflection of God's own intellect and his own freedom that he has to act with. You know, think about it. So many things that we get to do in our life, we don't even realize it's because of how God made us and because he made us in his likeness. Anytime someone paints a picture, invents a machine, writes a book, solves a math problem, names a child, they confirm the act that they're made in God's likeness, because we have this freedom to express, freedom to choose, freedom to think about things. We have so much to be thankful for and much to praise God for. The second area that I'd like to talk about is this idea that God has given an ability to relate and through that also to rule. Being made in God's image gives us this unique relationship to the rest of creation. God gave us dominion over all his creation. What does that mean? You know, we're in charge at last. Now we get to do what? We have to think about what does God want us to do? We have the right to exercise control over all nature. Does that mean we can just exploit it all? All the natural resources are ours. Do whatever we want for our own gain. Well, there's some who take the opposite, and we're just stewards, and we want to be careful not to disrupt anything. We should really just restrain ourselves and minimize our impact to all creation. This is the dilemma today, right? We get this struggle in the sin-cursed world. Those who want to exploit and run wild, we need to recognize that exploiting all the resources, no matter what we do, it doesn't make humanity any richer in God's eyes. The whole purpose of putting in charge was so that we would glorify God. Not using our resources would also be an insult, right? It's like the guy who, you gave me the money. I knew you'd come back, the master. So I just kind of hid it in the dirt and I didn't get any interest on it. Oh, what an insult. You didn't have any faith. So likewise, what are we doing with what God has given us? Verse 28 of Genesis 1. And God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that moves on the earth. This might be restated, fill the earth. Take responsibility to represent God and to work with others as caretakers of God's creation as you're doing it. Along with ruling, God made man in his image that he would have this desire to have relationships with us, or just as he has, excuse me. God desires that we have relationships just as he has with us. And so we have our relationship with men and women, with all of creation, and with God. We see this in Genesis chapter 2, verse 18. God's heart that we would learn to relate. It's not good that man should be alone. And so what did he do? God wanted Adam to have a companion. He brought all the animals to come before Adam, gave him the privilege, named them out. And Adam was able to give all the names, but he didn't find someone that was a match for him, a helper fit for him, the complement that he needed. And so then God acted on that one. And he took Adam, put him to sleep, took his rib, and formed woman, right? And then we have that great declaration. Ah, bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she came from man. And God made a helper, a companion who was perfectly made for Adam. God's purpose for man is to have meaningful, loving relationships. And he started them off perfectly. We're to cultivate strong marriages. We're to grow strong families. We're supposed to influence our society. And we're supposed to be devoted to God and to one another. Isn't that why we gather as the church? I think that's why he also established. So we could be at home in our own prayer circle and with our family. And then we gather with others of like-minded and we share and grow in relationships. Every time we make a friend, you care for others, you hug your child, you get married, we're showing that we're made in God's image. We're fulfilling the purpose that he's given us. The last section I'd like to talk about is this unique ability that God gave us to communicate with him. We're uniquely made in his image to be able to communicate with him. And this we find when we look deep into how did God make us? You know, we talked about there's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, three in one. Well, he uniquely made us spirit, soul, and body. If we go to 1 Thessalonians 5:23, I'll just read it. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so Paul is telling us, yes, you're uniquely made, and it's a reflection of how the Godhead is. What an honor to be made in such a way. The body's easy, right? It's the physical. You poke me, hurt me. I understand the body. We get that. A couple of funerals this weekend, from my understanding, and so we understand the perishableness of the flesh, of the body. The spirit and the soul, well, that gets a bit more complex. Different theories. Some see them, well, they're so intertwined you can't really separate them. There's some scriptures that would support the dichotomy, and some call the trichotomy. Spirit and soul, I'll just say as the spiritual level of our being. They include our personality. When we talk about, it touched my heart. I'm not talking about my literal heart muscle. We're talking about that being within us, that center of our emotions and the way that we think, because it includes our mind. It's my personality as well that's unique. What makes you unique? And, you know, how do I know it's you? Because of how you express yourself or how you react. And go, that's that spirit and soul within us. Luke 1:46-47, Mary gives an expression that helps us understand it, that they're just the soul and the spirit are so intertwined. My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. See how they're at the spiritual level and they're just linked together. Nothing else in creation is made with this unique design. Man is the only one created this way. Only humans get to experience an intimate relationship with God. Others just exist. I do believe that God can influence and control and lead and guide, but I don't know that animals have an understanding of it. What led them to come to the ark and be led there, or even to come file past Adam so that he could name them all? Well, that's God at work, but not in the same way that he works with man. We get to have the understanding of what he's doing. He's made us in his image so that we have that special relationship with him. Only humans get to experience that intimate relationship. No one gets to know God like we do. What a special privilege we have. And only people have a full understanding of how and why they are made. And we get to tell God what we think about it. Psalm 139:14 says, I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. Being made in God's image gives every person a special place in God's creation. And it gives us a special dignity, a special worth, that value of and purpose. You're uniquely designed to know the God who made you. We get to know him in this life, and we get to know him for eternity. Now, at this point, some of you might be going, well, wait a minute, brother, you haven't even gotten out of Genesis 1 and 2. Everything was perfect then. We were, of course, were made in God's image there, because that's when he started. That was before sin. Is it still true today? Yes. Adam and Eve started out perfectly, made in God's image. We're still the same creation, but it's our moral nature that is fallen, that is corrupted, and the curse upon the whole earth that continues to affect us. But God offers a new self to those who place their faith in Jesus Christ, a new self that's made in the likeness of Christ, made in the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness, he says. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4. And down to verse 20. But that is not the way you learned Christ, assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him, as the truth is in Jesus, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. God's desire through Christ is to restore us back to where we were in the beginning. Isn't that beautiful? I was really seeing that helps me pull it all together and go, God, doesn't he? He is the way maker, right? The miracle worker. What wonderful thoughts. Greater his thoughts towards us. God views us as the high point of his creation. The question is, how do we view God? Do we live a God-centered life? Without God at the center of our life, without Christ being preeminent in our life, it leads us to value things more than him. It leads us to value things and pleasure and comfort more than others, more than the welfare of others. So I encourage you to recognize how special it is that God he's stamped his image on humanity. What a special privilege, what a special blessing. And it changes the way, it should change the way that you view yourself and these special relationships that God has given us the ability to think, to reason, to choose, free will. He wants us to reason with him, to seek him, to choose him. He gave us a special blessing of relating with him. And learning to relate with others. And learning how to rule and have dominion over all his creation. He didn't give that privilege to anyone else. And he gave us this ability to communicate directly with him. We can commune with God. We can come to him. Isn't it comforting and encouraging to know that our God has acted in such a special way? when it came to creating men and women, that he created us in his image, in the likeness of God. You know, sin entered and tarnished that reflection of his image. But God acted again. And by his grace, he sent his son, the Lord Jesus, that those who would place their trust and faith in him and the death of that he offered for us at the cross of Calvary, that we can have this new life, that we can be newly created in righteousness and holiness once again. How great is our God? What a great blessing. Father, thank you so much for the time this morning to consider your creation, your creativity, your heart expressed in all that you've made. We pray that all your creation would glorify you, but most of all that we as image bearers would bring glory to your name. We ask for your help and your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen.